Welcome to the Road Back podcast.
We're so glad you're here. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Desiree. We're two trauma-informed coaches and real-life friends.
If you're returning to yourself, your dreams, or your sense of belovedness, this podcast is for you.
We'll pull from our own stories and hard-earned wisdom to support your journey.
So take a breath and remember,
you belong exactly as you are. Welcome back to the Road Back podcast.
Welcome, friends.
We're so happy to be together again this week and talking about something that we both are really passionate about. And I think this is going to be a tender and personal and powerful episode where we were going to really discuss how, as we were considering all the parts of our journey in the road back and coming home to ourselves and making peace with parts and deconstructing other things that weren't serving us, dreaming has been such an integral part for me, and I know for you, in actually inviting us into deeper layers of coming home to ourselves. And in this episode, we're going to discuss that. And so I just want to start by asking you, Mel, why do you think dreaming is so important?
Well, one of my favorite verses that I have camped out in for the last few years, it's Proverbs 13:12, and it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." And when we've had seasons of disappointment and where hope has been deferred, where things haven't worked out as we had desired, as we'd hoped that they would, it says it makes our heart sick. And so when our heart is sick, it's just like any part of our body or psyche. When we're not functioning at full capacity, there's certain things that don't flow the way that we want them to. And so I love talking about dreaming because dreaming to me is a sign of a healthy heart. If a desire fulfilled is a tree of life, obviously it produces good fruit. It produces fruit in our life. And that for me is a really big deal. Part of the reason that we're here is to produce fruit in the form of dreams and things that we long for, seeing those come to pass. It not only fuels us, but it fuels other people too. And so in a nutshell, dreaming to me is a sign of a healthy heart.
Mm. Oh, that's so good. I mean, you spoke to a little bit of like when you think of like a heart being sick or hope deferred making you sick. It sort of speaks to what can be so true in our lives when we can go through extended periods of living in a lot of survival. Sometimes we hit these moments where we're in trauma or we're in survival. We're in the point where we need to really pare down in life in order to mend and care and nourish and restore parts of us, which is such a valid part in the road back. But when you start to heal and you start to get a little more vitality in life, your heart will begin to say, "I like this. Let's try this." And so dreaming again is a natural part of health being restored.
Yeah. I think when we're in survival mode, our energy goes to just getting through. It's a moment by moment, sometimes day by day, week by week existence. And dreaming, by definition, has an element of future to it. And survival mode is often very much focused on just getting through the present moment. And that's part of the reason I think that as we heal and our heart has more capacity because we're not expending all our energy on just getting by, energy is freed up as our capacity increases. And that allows some of those desires that have been there all along to come back to the surface again. It's just when we are in survival mode or we're in seasons of intense healing, that's just not the priority. And it doesn't mean that the dreams go away. It just means that there's not always capacity to actually give them the time and the focus that we want to, or sometimes even that they deserve. And that's just part of life. We all have those survival mode seasons. And the good news is that they don't last forever. Those seasons can shift, and they do shift.
Yeah. So as you've healed and parts of you come back online and you've entered into shifting out of survival into places where you could get into more dreaming, what have been some of the biggest roadblocks for you or that you see in your clients or people that you work with?
Dreaming is a vulnerable experience. And when we've had disappointments in the past, where I don't think you can be human and not have suffered disappointment at some time. Expectations weren't met. Things didn't show up the way you'd hoped they did. You stepped out. You took the risk. You fell flat. And sometimes we're able to get back up again and just dust ourselves off. Other times, the disappointments or the way things happen can feel very devastating. And so as we heal and as we start to dream again and go to step out, I often find this has been true for myself and I've seen it in other people. Getting over the disappointments that we felt and taking the risk of choosing to dream again and step out, there's often that internal resistance that comes up of like, ooh, but I remember how painful that was before. Do I really want to take the risk of stepping out again? That hurt so much. What about you, Des? What comes to mind when you think of some of those experiences that you've had where you've gone, ooh, I want to, but do I really?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think this has been so true for my story, but also in so many clients that I work with. By engaging in dreaming, you're actually going to hit past pain. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, maybe in the journey, you sort of feel like you're not really aware of how much devastation or how much shame or betrayal, right? Or rejection you felt in these things. But by engaging again in dreaming, you'll naturally hit those things. So it's actually a good sign. It means that you're engaging in dreaming. And also, I think that a lot of people won't ever get past this point. Mm. That when they hit pain, I think a lot of us, we just go, whoop, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. enough to show us, that we shouldn't keep moving on. There's enough alarm bells. There's enough red flags going. And understanding my nervous system around this concept is that like, oh, one of my brain's functions is to try to keep me in the quote unquote status quo where we know, we know what's going to be like. To dream is to go into the unknown. Mm-hmm. Is to transcend where I'm at to go into something else, whether it's starting an exercise routine, whether it's starting dating for the first time or all over again, whether it's starting a business or writing that book. Or I mean, this extends and relates to so many different new things. We're trying something new. Yeah. And so to hit pain of the last time we tried something new makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. so relatable. Yeah. So relatable in my story and in so many of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fear of the unknown is a universal human fear that we have to confront. I don't know anybody who hasn't had to confront their fear of the unknown. It's something new, like you said. You haven't done it before. And so our brain and wiring to keep us safe, there's that threshold. And it doesn't matter whether this is the first time you've ever really tried to take a step towards a dream after a season of intense disappointment, you're coming out of that, or whether you have been taking multiple steps towards dreams over a period of time. There's always that new threshold with a new dream, a new level that you have to confront some of those limiting beliefs, the disappointments or the fears again. And I think that we can strengthen the muscles and build up history so that we know, yes, I have some disappointments. I had some things where I was knocked down, rejected, failed. But when we can also start building up a new history with ourselves of, oh, this is common. Everybody has to face these fears. It's not just me. And facing this disappointment is just going to be par for the course. It's something I'm going to have to do. Facing the limiting beliefs I'm holding on to are par for the course. It's actually common humanity. Everybody gets to do this. I am not a case in isolation. I'm not the only one who has to walk this path. And I find it comforting to listen to other people's stories or read accounts of other people taking brave steps. And that's why we have the value of community and the value of resources and podcasts and books and seminars and sermons, because ideally they're going to give us fuel for the journey, because we're not alone. We're not the only ones having to do that.
Yeah. By talking about it and by relating to each other, it removes a level of shame, which I think shame is such a huge hindrance or limiting factor that I personally hit against when I thought about dreaming again. And I see with so many people that I work with, it's sort of the conclusions that we've drawn.
Yeah.
About why that happened that way. So
talk about that a little bit. How do you have some thoughts or maybe some examples to share? I'm sure listeners can relate.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how shame sometimes shows up.
Yeah, shame came at with a one situation in a couple different ways. Sometimes we have an expectation of how long this is going to go, or we just think it's going to go a different way. And then when life happens, because life is just life, so there's so many unexpected things, we often ascribe and attach certain meanings to why that happened. Oh, this means that God didn't love me. This means that I wasn't worthy. This mean that I missed something, or that I failed in some way. And that those meanings add up.
Yeah.
That sense of shame, when I go to dream again, shows up and saying, oh, remember, you're less than, or no one's going to be there for you and no one really cares. And so by noticing the shame stories that are coming up when you re-engage in dreaming, it feels, for one, like it can be an intolerable thing that we don't want to look at because it has so much personal evaluation. Yeah. It has a personal evaluation of us.
Yeah.
And that also gets us, like, I see people quit as soon as they hit shame.
Uh-huh.
And I've done it. I've quit uh-huh. before when I've hit shame.
Uh-huh.
But even as you're talking about, like, the community part of it, if we all are going to hit shame,
yeah,
we all will hit shame. And that's going to mm-hmm. be a part of our journeys in dreaming again. It just mm-hmm. feels so relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the overarching themes even of this conversation is that, one, everybody is born with dreams and desires in their heart. Two, everybody experiences setbacks, failures, fears, disappointments along the path. And three, everybody is invited to pick themselves back up again and choose to move forward. And part of what this conversation is today is highlighting some of the roadblocks and why we might feel resistance,
yes.
normalizing it, helping you recognize, oh yeah, I'm not in isolation here. This is not a one-off. I'm not the only person who experiences that. Everybody confronts some of the same things. It might look different for us yeah. individually, but the overarching experiences of disappointment, pain, shame, rejection, fear, those are universal. And our heart today is to highlight them and also give us some tools to move forward, because ultimately we are not created to just stay stuck in these places. And, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably the type of person who's already interested in emotional health, spiritual health, growth, personal development. And when we feel like it's not just me, yeah. there's a sense of togetherness that we can cultivate even just by listening to other people and their journeys that helps give us courage to keep moving forward as well. Mm. And that's really our heart today, is we want to help you keep moving forward, regardless of whether you're charging to go and you can't wait to get stuck in, or whether you're coming out of that season of survival mode and you're going, I'm just in that place where maybe I can start thinking about dreaming again. We're here to give you that little nugget to take that next brave step. Des, let's talk about beliefs. We've touched on a few things like disappointment and coming out of survival mode. When people start dreaming again, the old scripts can show up. What are some of the things that you've experienced as you've walked the journey yourself and with others? What are some yeah. of those common humanity things that show up?
Well, personally, one of the first things that I hit in terms of my belief was my body had a strong belief that if we were to reengage in life and go for our dreams, that I would self-abandon again. And that I would not care for my body. And because I had such a devastating, really chronic health problem, this was mm-hmm. actually valid. But if you think of a limiting belief as a thing that you sort of keep hitting the ceiling on, and I work with a lot of women who have health problems, and this is a belief. Like, one question we ask is, can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do this? If we do this, will there be help? If we do this, will you be with, like, will you still take care of
yeah.
my body? Will we still be able to rest? And so that's a personal example of mm-hmm. something I'm still working out,
mm-hmm.
is I'm still working out building the trust and bringing the reassurance to my body that it is important on this road back. Like, in my life, I want to be caring for myself. And so when you ask the question about beliefs, I think there's so many different types of beliefs. It can come with capacity. It could come with making money. I had a huge, I don't think I'll ever make money. I don't think I'll ever be successful. This is a belief that I had. And so when I went to dream to go have a business, I naturally hit that.
I was like, well, I just actually don't think I'll ever make money. So how is this going to work? How do I have both? How do I have the desire to do something and then the belief that I won't be successful?
Yeah, there's a lot of tension in dreaming. And it's one of those processes that choosing to lean into something, a possibility for the future, naturally surfaces some of those little gremlins of beliefs, those limiting beliefs that are sometimes lying there a little bit unchallenged and under the surface until we start taking those steps forward. Talk to me about imposter syndrome. What can pop up with imposter syndrome? What are some of those limiting beliefs that maybe our listener will find themselves in? What are some of those thoughts that can run through our heads?
Yeah, I think if you've ever heard language like, other people are already doing that, why would someone want to listen to you when they could listen to X, Y, and Z? You never went to school for that, or you're not the smartest person. Oh my gosh, I have so much of that. You're not the smartest person. Who would even want to listen? I think that imposter syndrome is a feeling when you want to kind of grow into a space you're not in there yet. It comes naturally because you're trying to eke in there. Imposter syndrome is sort of like, I'm in a new place I've never been before. Do I belong here? Mm-hmm. And at the heart of that, like your system and your heart may just be asking, do we belong? And you're the one person that gets to say, hell yeah, go for it. You belong here. You should totally do this. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay if there's more than one of us doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's okay. Actually, that doesn't take away from it.
It makes so much sense to me. I was actually thinking of some of the other excuses or beliefs that come up, which is, oh, well, I don't really have the time. It's already been done before. Who would want to listen to me? I don't have the money. I can't afford it. I can't afford to take the time off. I'm too busy.
Wow.
All those things. And again, resistance and excuses show up when we are being invited to step into something new, when there's another level, when there's another space for us. Rather than just seeing it as like, oh my goodness, yes, they're going to knock me back down. How do we reframe some of these things and actually see them? And you touched on it even with the imposter thing. There's a point that we have to come to where we choose to, and this is something my husband would say, he's from New Zealand. He was like, you got to back yourself. I've got to believe in myself. If I don't, I can't expect everybody else to. And some of us might be blessed with, maybe we do have people around us supporting us and championing us, but ultimately they can't make the decisions that I have to make for me. And I've struggled with imposter syndrome so much, and I've let it knock me back before. I've let it stop me. Mm-hmm. And that's always the choice. I think when we choose to move forward into the space of dreaming, there are multiple forks in the road, so to speak, that we come to.
Yes.
And we have the choice of going, am I going to let this limiting belief stop me? Even if it's knocked me down 20 times before, am I going to let it knock me down again? And I remember somebody saying this once, and it always stuck with me. She said, if something is important enough to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll make an excuse. And I was like,
it's real.
Dang,
so
girl,
good.
That's
so real.
That is so good. It's like this loving wake-up call. What I took from it is there is always a path forward. You might not have found it yet. Thomas Edison, what did he try? 1,000 iterations before the light bulb worked? It was something like that. Anything worth having has a level of commitment to it, a level of resolve that comes up. And so often dreams fulfilled are absolutely wonderful, but it's also not just about the success metric that we get at the end. Did you build the business? Did you make the money? Did you get the man? Did you lose the weight? That's part of it. But the other part is, who do we become in the process of walking out these dreams? Just like, who do we become in the process of choosing to heal? When we choose to heal, we change. But also when we walk out dreams, we change. And they are both equally important. One might be repairing things that are broken, and that's a vital part of the journey on the road back. The other is us growing into the person that we are created to be and bringing the things that we were born to bring and create to the world around us. And that is an equally important part of the process as well. It's not either or, it's both and. And recognizing, not only where are you in the journey, are you more in the healing part right now? Or are you more in the dreaming part? Are you somewhere in the middle? It actually incorporates both. Dreaming incorporates healing.
Yes.
But there are also very, very significant seasons where it is a time to dream, just like Springtime is a time to plant and sow and till the soil. And winter is not the time to be tilling the ground. And recognizing your own season is a big part of it as well.
By engaging in dreaming, you're engaging with your heart. I am 100% convinced that every action that I've made towards a dream of my heart has ultimately led me to deeper connection with myself. You can't separate them. And so you were speaking a little bit earlier to this common humanity experience of feeling powerless, having the moment of like, what do I choose? Am I going to be powerless to the decisions I need to make, or crossing into uncomfortability in order to actually get the thing I want? And we're all about knowing your season, or my healing season. But you said something like, nobody can make that decision for you. And also, you're the only person that can disqualify you or take you out of this journey. You're the only person that can say no to your dreams. And the choice that you get to choose means that if I choose yes, I'm choosing myself. Hmm. It goes back to like being on your own team, backing yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that the more I've said yes to myself, the more I've supported my journey of healing towards my own heart. So such a powerful, multifaceted
yes
experience, which is why I think we experience so much tension.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a reason there's so much resistance. There is a reason this is so hard, because it's so important. Uh-huh. And it's extremely vulnerable.
And it is part of the growth process.
Yes.
It's part of you stepping into who you truly are. It's part of embodying your identity, why you're here. And I love that you touched on the fact that if I don't back me, nobody else is necessarily going to do it either. What have you learned about backing yourself? Are there any examples that come to mind where you think, yeah, here's an example where I actually just had to step out. I had to take the risk and it actually worked out. But I had to make the decision first before I had lots of external validation telling me, yes, Des, you're the best thing ever. It's going to totally work out. Because there's an element of faith and risk when we step into dreaming and taking action on those dreams. What would you say about that?
This is so good. Because I think when you ask this question, I think of like micro invitations and then like more macro invitations. But I think something that I did for myself, and I spoke to it a little bit, is I started to reframe for myself when I felt uncomfortable, when I felt the imposter syndrome, when I hit the pain of my past, when I came up and told me this certain story. When those moments happen, when I began to reframe like, okay, this is uncomfortable. Growth, expansion hurts. It's like growing pains. It hurts. And when I started to reframe, like, oh, Des, yeah, you want to throw up. Like, this is, this is so much. And I'm like, this is great.
So
like,
real.
This is real. This is the feeling of being alive. I started to reframe. I'm like, this is the feeling of us saying, yeah, we're going to go for it. And when I reframed that, hey, this is what growth feels like, it really helped practically support me to stay in the game, even if it was incremental at times. It helped me stay in longer. It helped me push that ceiling up higher and higher incrementally. And I spoke of this, but I really had a come to Jesus moment when I was like, listen, no one out there is going to take you seriously but you. Like, if you don't take yourself seriously, no one will. Mm-hmm. You're the person that you've been waiting for, Des.
Yes.
To be on your team, to cheer you on, to get behind you, to give you the support. And I have amazing friends. I do. I'm extremely blessed. But they can't do that for me.
Yeah.
Nobody can. Not my husband, not my kids. Nobody can do it but me. And so I had a talk with myself. That was my come to Jesus moment. I was like, we're going to do this. And
was it one talk? Was it like a one moment aha? Or was it a series of self-motivation sessions? How did that look?
Such a good question. Well, there's one particular moment I took myself on a walk. And I was like, we got to talk this out. I realized that the biggest thing that was keeping me from being on my team was I realized that if I went all in and it didn't work out, that I was going to shame myself and I was going to believe hard things about myself. And when I could see that I was the only one that was like, this is my business, this is my dream. So when this was all going to land on me, that almost felt intolerable. I was like, I don't actually know if I'm going to be on my team if that were to happen, if and when that's going to happen. And so by confronting myself and having this talk where I'm like, we got to get it together and we got to get on our team, I actually could see the vulnerability in it. And I told my heart, Des, even if this craps out and does not go well, I'm going to still be proud of you that you tried. I'm going to still think that you were worth the effort and the money and the time. And when I gave that to my heart, something really did shift. It doesn't mean I didn't give myself a mini talk talking to, because I've done some pretty brave things this year. And I'm like, okay, remember, this is where we're at.
Some little pep talks along the way.
Some little hoorahs, you know. But that moment when I really got face to face with my deepest fear, which was that I was going to believe the worst about me.
Yeah.
That's really what the invitation led me to, that deeper connection, deeper support in my heart.
And have you found that in working with others too, that that's often where the invitation is ultimately? Am I going to stick with me?
Yeah.
If it goes wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think at the heart of all of us, we need to know that we're going to belong. And if hard things happen, if pain happens, if failure happens, will we belong to someone at the end? Like, will there be anybody there that's going to say, you're still loved? It's okay. You belong to me. So I think this is such a human need.
Yeah. What would you say to the listener who sees herself in that picture? And she's like, oh, I do have dreams in my heart. Are there some practicals? Does she just need to go on a walk? What would you say to her? She's like, yeah, I want to step out, but I'm really struggling to get over that hurdle. I feel the resistance. I feel the imposter syndrome. Can you give me some practical steps?
Yeah, well, even if you think about how I shared about reframing the uncomfortability and then taking yourself really seriously, if you can get to the thing that your heart's the most afraid might happen if you go to this, and if you can actually surround that need or that vulnerability with a lot of love and support, that is what is actually needed for humans to go to the next level.
Yeah.
And just understand that everyone that you see who's at a place that you want to be at has hit into that vulnerability and in some ways gotten support so that they can grow and expand to the next level. I would say that you're not alone. And me too. I'm scared too. And I still think you're worth it. Yeah. How about you? Are there any practical steps that you would give the listener in terms of just engaging in more empowerment in their dreams?
Recognizing that the excuses and the resistances there is the first step. This is going to show up, and that's okay. That's, everybody has that. And then understanding that you are the only one can stop you. Believing in yourself, that's another step. But also, when it comes to walking things out, there's a couple of thoughts that come to mind. One is take the right size steps that you're able to manage. Yes. And that might be as simple as, I'm just going to find an empowering podcast to listen to, or I'm going to start reading that book that I've been putting off, or I'm going to listen to it while I'm driving my kids to school. How can you surround yourself with people who have a can-do attitude, people who have a naturally positive bent? Either it's because they've been successful themselves, and so they have some history to back it up. Like, I tried it, I failed, I tried again, I succeeded, I figured a way forward. There's a saying that says success leaves clues. And so surrounding yourself with resources or people, or listening to people who have the expertise, or they've done it themselves, or they have the belief, that affects you, because your environment affects you, the people you surround yourself with affect you. And so being mindful of, okay, what am I listening to? And what are the people around me typically saying? Are they people who are naturally optimistic? Or are they naturally pessimistic? Are they going to naturally believe in me? Or are they naturally going to tell me all the reasons why I can't do it because that's what they say to themselves? So paying attention to what you are feeding yourself with is a really important thing because you become like the people you hang around. There's micro steps of like, what's one decision today? What is a habit or a daily practice that I could put into place that will support my decisions, recognizing that Rome wasn't built in a day. It's going to take time to get there. I'm not going to do this overnight, but what are some simple things that I can give, even if it's 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, just to start creating space around my dream and taking baby steps towards it. Some people are ready for bigger steps than that. There's actually a few people I follow on Instagram, and I feel so inspired by them because they are people who have made public declarations. This one lady that I follow, I don't know when she started her account. It was a few months ago, but she said, I am fed up with being this weight. She was overweight. She wanted to lose weight. She said, I'm going to weigh myself publicly every single day until I lose 150 pounds. She said, the next time I see my family, I want to be completely different. She's blocking her family from the account so they can't see her. And she has drawn a line in the sand, and she has basically said, thus far, no further. I'm not doing this anymore. And those are some of the macro decisions. There are life-changing decisions that you can actually hit a point and you just go, I'm done. I'm not doing it this way anymore. Things must change. And I am ready to, like in her case, she's made herself accountable to thousands and thousands of people who follow her now.
Wow.
And so it's hard if you say, I'm going to weigh myself publicly every day to start skipping out on that, because now you have a whole audience that you've made yourself accountable to. And that is like next level.
Yes.
But it is possible. It is a option. And some of the biggest breakthroughs in my life and some of the people that I admire the most are when, for me personally, I drew a line in the sand and I was like, I am not doing this another day. It ends now.
Wow.
And that is available to all of us. It's not always where everybody's next step is. And we admire those radical shifts because it is radical and it can bring such wild breakthrough. But there's also space for all the in-between steps, the baby steps, the steps that just say, I have a dream of being healthy and fit. I'm going to drink an extra glass of water today rather than an extra cup of coffee. Or I'm going to drop soda from my life. I'm going to drink one less Diet Coke today. And those can be baby steps that, believe it or not, add up over time. And I remember saying this to a client one day. I just had the words come out of my mouth. I said, baby steps are still steps.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I took for me too. I was talking to her, but I thought, okay, dang, I need to keep that for myself. And I've actually written it down. Sometimes we can get enthralled with the really powerful, big, grand steps and the grand decisions. And there's a time and a place for those. But the baby steps are no less important. And it leads into the conversation around self-awareness, which is so important. And if you're on your own healing journey, it's something that you're growing in. Ideally, and recognizing actually what's my capacity right now. Maybe it's not launching an Instagram page and putting myself out there for the world to see. Maybe it is. Maybe it's someplace in between. Maybe it's signing up for the gym membership or getting marriage counseling or taking a book writing class because I've always wanted to write a novel. Your dream is unique to you. And ultimately, as we are alluding to multiple times, there's things that only you can do. There's decisions that only you can make. And we want to excite you and champion you and even challenge you a little bit and go, what are those steps that you could take today that feel right-sized for where you're at in your season and in your journey? What would you add to that, Des?
One thing I would love, like feels really practical, is I would invite the listener to think, what is it that I want to feel? Like in my life, if you think about if I attain that dream, if I'm living that thing, if I've written that book, if I've started dating again, fill in the blank. What is it that I'm feeling? What is it that I'm believing about myself? How do you begin like to circle around and really hone in on how beautiful that intention is? Like that, for one, I would let it, the intention of how honorable it is to feel helpful, to feel alive, to feel loved. Like those are honorable desires and feelings that we want to feel in our life. And by circling around that, it helps the buy-in. It's like, actually, this is totally worthwhile. This is actually a good thing for me to spend my life doing or to put the effort in. It's worth the uncomfortability. And so I would invite the listener to think about what they want to feel and mm-hmm. what that dream would do for them as a way to support the motivation.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask for help along the way. There's no way that I could have transitioned into some of the things that I am doing now if it weren't for the support of community or trusted friends or counselors or people to help along the way. You're not weak or bad if you need help. In fact, you're wired to need support for the journey. And so that's something else to just be mindful of. Sometimes I think we can feel this pressure to, if I really had it together, I could figure this out on my own. But what if maybe that's a belief we could reframe as to, yeah, maybe I could do it on my own, but do I really want to? Mm. And am I even wired for that? And I think we are so wired for community that just being even aware that, hey, I don't have to do this by myself can be a really powerful realization. And also then just having the courage to reach out and tell a trusted friend, tell somebody that you would like to be in your world and in this process and reach out and just say, hey, look, this is what I'm thinking about. Can I process this with you? Can I be accountable to you? Can mm-hmm. we be accountability buddies maybe and hold each other to some of the standards or the dreams that we're thinking about? Because I don't actually want to spend another year and not take any forward action on this.
Yeah. You've done that so well. You've asked for help. You've asked for community. So I'm just really proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah. And I feel like I can speak from experience. It really makes a difference.
Sure does.
So feel encouraged if you're out there and you're wanting to reach out maybe, but you're feeling a little bit nervous. Just know this is a path that's going to have risks along the way. It's part of your life, but there's also growth and a tree of life on the other side that makes it really worth it. So I hope this message encourages you today.
Same. We're proud of you. Don't give up. Don't let go of your dream. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Even if it feels uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Join us next week. We want to dive into this dream conversation even more and talk a little bit about what it looks like to walk out dreams, some of the risks we've taken, some of the fruit we've seen as a result. So tune in for part two.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye.